Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Thursday to you. Well, I am excited about today's show topic. We're going to talk about what it means to make the change before you have to. Because, you know, if we live in crisis management, we will miss the best of what God has for us. In just a moment, pastor, author Rob Ketterling will join us. I have him and his beautiful wife in studio. And I have to say this, along with my darling niece, Kelsey, and her darling boyfriend, Ben, who attend Rob's church in studio. But they've all made me promise not to ask them to speak. So you're just going to have to go on my word that they're actually here. They're in studio, right? Smile and
that was a nod from them. Yes.
I only have one communicator out of all four of you. Actually, your wife's an amazing communicator, but it's on her terms, right, Rob?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. I will not force her to do anything she doesn't want to do.
No, I get the feeling she can hold her own. So,
yes.
She's the boss of her body over there. I can tell. So I'm going to get you on in a minute, Rob, but I want to just read this quote from my devotional this morning because it really was a great setup for your topic. It says this: not many of us are living at our best. We linger in the lowlands because we're afraid to climb the mountains. The steepness and ruggedness discourages us, so we stay in the midst of the valleys and never learn the mystery of the hills. Listen to this. We do not know what is lost by our self-indulgence. That's amazing. We do not know what's lost by our self-indulgence, what glory awaits if we will only have the courage to climb, or what blessings we'll find if we'll only ascend to the mountains of God. So as I said, we're talking to Pastor Rob Ketterling about his new book, hot off the presses, Change Before You Have to, Discover a New Life of Abundance, Passion, and Satisfaction. Really a great read to kick off the new year. And we have 6 copies to give away, so I'm going to count on your participation. So feel free at any time to interrupt us, ask a question, make a comment. First 6 people on the air will get a copy of Rob's book. Well, change is never an easy thing. You know, it often comes with blood, sweat, and tears. But when we can get ahead of it, God can teach us amazing things. So here's my question for you. Do you normally change in reaction to things, or do you decide to change on your own? I believe it's always best to be proactive when it comes to our sanctification. And we're going to look at what it means to be proactive in change. All right, let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get them on the show. Pastor Rob Ketterling is lead pastor of River Valley Church, located in Minnesota's Twin Cities metro area. And I want to make sure I'm saying this right. Valencia, Spain?
Yes, we have a campus in Valencia, Spain.
Wow. Starting in 95, with just 13 people, Rob and his wife began River Valley with a vision for a church that's outside the ordinary. Today, River Valley is thriving and growing with over 4,000 in attendance across the 4 Minnesota locations. And Rob serves on many church and parachurch boards and is on the leadership team of the Association of Related Churches. He and his wife, Becca, live in Lakeville with their 2 boys, Connor and Logan. Rob, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here. And even as you're reading that, I realized how fast our church grows because we now have 6 campuses in Minnesota.
Wow.
And it's over 5,000, and we have 1 in Valencia, and we're getting ready to open one in Swaziland.
Wow.
So it's
how do you
just
pick these places, by the way?
Here's my thought. Open doors. I just look to see where God opens doors, and we go after it.
Awesome.
We've had a few spots where we felt this is exactly where we need to go. But most of the times it's like, okay, God, if it's good to you, if it's good to the team and the elders and where we're going, let's go through that door and see what God does.
You know, it reminds me of the Henry Blackaby message. Look where God is working and join him in that. And it's not rocket science, but it does take some availability and some initiative, doesn't it?
And listening.
Yeah.
And listening, because you want to force your way. And you're like, okay, God, if you say right, I'll go right.
Mm. So good. Well, we like to start out all of our interviews talking scripture, and we love this part of Live the Promise because it brings the word to life. The word is living and breathing, and when our listeners hear, you know, a guest every day saying, you know, this is the verse God's been speaking to me about, we hear from them all the time saying, you know, I brought that verse to life in a way I never heard before, because then you get a chance to unpack and say, this is why this verse is speaking to me. And you chose, where's that verse? I just have, Ezekiel 36:26. And I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's New Living Translation.
Yes.
Talk to us about that, Pastor.
Well, I loved it because one of the things that I thought was the key to changing before you have to was to have a responsive heart. And so when I read that in the New Living, it just jumped out to me because here's God saying the opposite of the responsive heart is a stony, cold, hard heart. And so to me, that just jumped out to say the responsive heart is what he wants in all of us. And if we have that, I think it leads to the change that he wants to do in us.
Oh, that's so good. I mentioned this probably about a year ago, but I read something from A.W. Tozer when he was sort of observing, you know, humanity and saying, you know, God's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. So why is it that some rise above the fray and change the world and others don't? He doesn't really have favorites. So what's, you know, what gives? That's my modern day translation of A.W. Tozer. But he did. He just studied these people and found, is there a common denominator? And he said one was rich, one was poor, one was educated, right, one was not. But the one common denominator was spiritual receptivity. That's what he called it. And basically he was talking about a responsive heart, that not only did they take time to listen, but when they heard God, they did something about it. And that's very much connected to your message of change, isn't it?
It's 100%. Matter of fact, I wish I would have known that. I'd have put that in the book. That's exactly it, to be responsive and to follow whatever he says to do, to do. And I think he's speaking to us all the time. We just don't like to listen.
Wow. Well, if you just tuned in, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have author and pastor Rob Ketterling in studio talking about his new book, Change Before You Have to, Discover a New Life of Abundance, Passion, and Satisfaction. This is a very motivating book, and I think it would be motivating all year long, but I think it's especially motivating here in January. We've got 6 copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question or comment for our guest. Otherwise, my question to you is, what life change or adjustments do you want to make this year? What life change or adjustments do you want to make this year? I think I have 20 people who've answered it on Facebook. How about you? 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Or email susie@faithradionet.com. Well, you opened the book with the story of being out to dinner with another couple.
Yes.
I know you were hoping I would bring up this story, but I want you to tell it.
Especially with my wife here.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
I know. When I saw her, I'm like, this is perfect. So you're out to dinner with another couple.
Right.
And you sort of put your foot in your mouth a little bit.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, they were really good friends of ours. And it was one of those, what would you do if this? What would you do if that? And I was teasing my friend saying, you're so high maintenance. If something ever happened to your wife, you would not know what to do. And he looked at me and said, well, you would know what to do if Becca was gone too, because she does so much around your home, takes care of so much. And I said, I know if I ever lost Becca, I would totally be just lost. And I said, and I'd have to lose weight. And as soon as I said it, you could see Becca like turning her head sideways, like, you know, little Yorkshire Terrier, like, what? You know, and she kind of looks at me, she's like, why would you have to lose weight if I died or something? And I'm going to tell you, I'm a pastor, but I was looking for a lie right there. I was like, did I just say that? And before I could even answer, my friend blurts out and says, what he's saying is he couldn't attract a woman like you looking like that.
I love friends like that, don't you?
Yeah, right. I still owe him for that
one. Yeah, you do.
It was one of those moments where, and then she catches it and she's like, wait. You would lose weight for another woman, but the one that made the vow to you that loves you, you're just content just being as big as you get? And I said, that's pretty bad, isn't it? And she said, yeah, it really is. And what was a joking moment, all of a sudden I could see like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And I looked at her and said, I'm going to change for you.
Wow.
And you know, people were like, well, you weren't that big. You know, how big were you? Well, my cholesterol was 250. My body fat was 38%. I wore extra large shirts just to cover my gut because most of my fat was in my gut. So if I wore loose clothing, it wouldn't show. And so I thought, okay, I need to do this. And when I went to the doctor, he said, you're actually a skinny fat guy. You're in bad shape, but you're skinny. And I just promised Becca I'd change. And so I went from an XL shirt to a medium.
Wow.
Yeah, and big difference. My driver's license photos, the two of them are night and day. People would even say, like, that's you?
Wow.
Because it was in my face and in my gut. And she didn't believe that I would change until I really did it.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor that next week, and I said, treat me like I had a heart attack. And he said, did you? I said, well, no, I didn't, but pretend that I did because I'm going to change my life. and I'm going to eat better. I'm going to live better. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do what I know I need to do, and I'm going to change before I have to.
I love that, and I know I was sort of teasing you a little bit about telling that story, but I, first of all, honor your honesty, because we all have, you know, the Bible does say each turns to his own way. We all have our bents, and don't you think food is the drug of choice in the church? I mean, it is, and we cover it up and justify it all day long.
Call it fellowship.
Right. And, yeah, pot bless.
That's right. So we eat and eat, and we don't think anything wrong of it. And, you know, people would tease me. They'd say, Pastor, you got a little pulpit blister working right there, you know. And, you know, you laugh and, oh, yeah. And I just thought, that isn't a good example. This is my area, and I need to change it. And I thought, well, other people, maybe they hide theirs not with an extra large shirt, but with something else. I wonder what their area is. Yeah. I wonder if God wants us all to change that area, and I think the answer is yes.
So good. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got 6 copies of Rob's book, Change Before You Have To. Discover a new life of abundance, passion, and satisfaction. To the first 6 people who either get on the air or email me a question, we've got Diane calling from Burnsville. Diane, welcome.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, how are you?
I am really good. I think I love this guy. His honesty... I love it. The time is great. Brand new year. Just put it out there and be real. I just love it. When I called, I didn't know I'd get on right away. So I had like a, okay, if I get on question, and then if I don't, one is my safe question and one is my like real question. And I'm going to give you my real one.
All right.
Which is, I have a fresh vision for my marriage. It's a second marriage. And you know what? There's history. And there's not necessarily baggage, but there's bags. And I just have been really, really praying that God would just give me a whole new way to look at the second marriage and the second husband. And he hasn't asked me to change anything like that. But this is your book. I can't believe it. The timing is awesome. I'm going to change before I have to.
I love it.
Oh, it's great.
Thank you so much, Dan. You will get a copy. Love to hear from you as well, 877-933-2484. You know, I'm not sure why it is that so many of us get into crisis management and wait to hit the wall before we change. And Mahabi and I, every 10 weeks, we talk to a group of kids in our community who've committed their first crime. These are young kids. These are tough kids. And what's so amazing, I just realized when we walked away last night, is they never tell us the crimes these kids have committed. We walk in and they tell us the destinies of these kids. And this is not a Christian organization. It's a secular organization, but they'll say, Susie and Kevin, just want you to know you're in the presence of a future dentist, a future electrician, a future nurse. And you even see the kids rise up a little bit. But you also see, choose life or death. I mean, your choices do matter. And so I'm thinking, if you would have just waved that off, that conversation at dinner that night, as a joke and justified, because you are and were successful in all these other areas, and we love to play to our strengths.
Right.
I want you to play it forward, Rob. So you just, when it comes up, you put your fingers in your ears and you sing My Country Tis of Thee,
right.
Like, don't want to talk about that. Play it forward. Where would that or could that have gone for you in that particular area of your life?
Well, I think with that cholesterol and the way I was living, a heart attack would have been really in the picture. I've been there too many times with people that looked healthy and then had that. And I also had major chest surgery when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And I used to joke around that you can't do CPR on me because my chest is all messed up. You know, if you don't have a defibrillator, I'm a goner, you know.
Wow.
And so who knows? I could have died, been out of the picture. So for me, it was there. And then that was the worst case scenario there. But then I thought, I'm being a bad example for the whole church. And because I have a weakness that's going to be visible for everybody to see. And then it's going to excuse them in their weaknesses. And then also trying to reach people that are outside the church. They can look at me and go, well, you're not even disciplined in that area. How can you speak to my spiritual life? So to me, it got me to realize there's way more consequences than even just dying. Because if I died, I was going to heaven.
Right.
Okay. I'd be a glorified body in heaven. That's good. But I would have left a terrible legacy behind. So that got me into thinking this, that, which if I could take a moment to talk about this, my trainer helped me with this. And he talked about it. And he said, too many people are living in a state of vulnerability. And we need to get them to stability so they can get to vitality.
Wow, that is good.
And so I translated that into the spiritual world. And if I could just say a moment about that, he was the picture of health and died just recently. Steve Toms, he was a trainer at Lifetime Fitness in Lakeville, helping me to lose weight. 35 years old, peak health, and what had happened was a heart abnormality, and he died during the sermon series where I'm talking about him losing, helping me to lose weight.
Wow.
It was so tragic to see that happen, and he lived a life for the Lord and was on fire and is in heaven. And here I am with his wife in our church and looking at all these pieces. And I did his funeral, and I said, a guy that would live like that wants you to know, don't live vulnerable. Fix every area of your life. Move it from vulnerability to vitality.
Amen.
And so with what he said, with what I was feeling, it got me to think about John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you'd have life and life more abundantly. And so as I researched this, I found out it meant superabundance, enough for you and to ooze out of you to other people. And so I thought, if we're living with weaknesses, that's not good enough. We have to keep fixing them and being more like Jesus and getting to superabundance. Stability is not good enough.
Right.
Spiritual vitality is where we want to be, so we have enough for us and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers. Mm-hmm. And good should be oozing out of every area of our life instead of just barely living in an area of vulnerability.
Boy, that is so good. And what you're talking about is living with a vision that's bigger than yourselves.
Yes.
But I think even in the church, you often see people working hard to either save face or to be successful in one area of life. And Dr. Richard Swenson, who wrote Margins, says pretty much anybody can excel if you take all your eggs out of one basket, neglect everything
right.
else, and do the one thing.
That's true.
But there's nothing noble about that. But to steward these different areas of your life and shore up your life so that you last long and finish strong is such a big deal. And you even said that in the book, that the area that's easiest to neglect, even though you're stewarding all these other areas, is probably going to be the place of your unraveling. And
I've
got a call coming in, but I want you to speak to that, because we don't want to look at those things, but those are the access points, I think, for the enemy to get in.
Right. It's an unguarded area.
Right.
And if you were going to attack somebody, you'd look for their weak spot. And so we get attacked in our weak spot, whether it's internet addiction that is a pornography addiction, or in your marriage or your parenting or your food, or fill in the blank, wherever it is. And that's going to be the spot you're going to get attacked in. And it's the easiest for the enemy to do that. So why not change that area and bring it to an area of strength?
So good. Talking to Rob Ketterling today about his book, Change Before You Have To. What a great concept. We're not called to live in crisis management. We want to shore up our lives. And you hear this at the end of the show every single day so that we can last long and finish strong. This isn't about saving face or even looking good. It's about standing strong and bearing much fruit. Love to hear from you if you've got a question or comment. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie at faithradionet.com. We've got Heather calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Heather, welcome. You're on with Rob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I just had a question. I had made some really great changes in my life. And about 4 years ago, had some things that happened that just really kind of rocked my world. And I fell back into some bad habits, and now I'm trying again to get back on track. So I could just want you to comment on, how do you stay motivated and stay on track when those changes, when something has just really kind of rocked your world?
Great question, Heather. First of all, you're going to get a copy of Rob's book, but go ahead, Rob.
Okay, that is a great question. I have a great illustration for you. First of all, the change is worth it, and you have to have a vision of a better future. So I always think about what I want to do for God, how I want to live in that abundant life. Okay, so that's out in front of me. That's my carrot, if you will. But here's the thing. I learned trying to lose the weight, you slip up sometimes. And there was a night I was at church. It was an elder meeting, and it was late. I hadn't planned ahead. I was hungry. And as I was leaving the church, our cleaning lady had left muffins there, blueberry pumpkin and some other stuff. And so I took them home. For the kids,
of course,
not for me. I was lying to myself, and I brought them to within proximity of me. And then in the car, they smelled so good. And then, of course, you know, I eat one, which leads to eating two, which led to eating three, which led to, were there any left for the kids? And as I did that, I recorded this video that night of me basically falling off the wagon. I felt so guilty. I felt so terrible. And the whole time I was doing this, as soon as it was done, in the moment, I was kind of like caught up in the moment. But as soon as it was done, I was like, wait a minute, that's not who you want to be. And then there were two choices. One voice was saying, just quit. It's not worth it. You're not that fat. Becca will love you. Come on, get over it. And the other voice was, no, you're going to be healthy and strong and live a full life, be there for your kids. And you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and I'm dealing with this guilt.
Mm.
And I think the attack of the enemy is to put guilt on you so you quit.
Can't get up. Yeah.
And my thing was, we're all going to have moments where we slip. We don't intend to. We're not excusing ourselves, but we're human and we're being attacked by our own flesh. Okay.
Mm.
And when you do that, you just get right back up.
That's right.
You get right back up. You figure out who you want to be in Christ. And you go after it again, and maybe you confess. You figure out what was the thing that was wrong. Did you bring something within proximity to you? Did you let your guard down? Do you not have an accountability partner? Was it a weak moment? Alcoholics Anonymous talks about hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Halt.
Mm-hmm.
Were you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And you slipped up, put a guard up in those areas. And so then I was like, all right. I need to surround myself with the good food, the good choices. I'm not strong enough to put bad food under my nose and say no.
Mm.
And so if she's struggling with some things that were changes and she fell off, here's the thing. Just calling in today and saying, hey, what do I do? Means there's a desire there to change. Follow that desire. Get strength from the Word of God, from the scriptures that are there for you. Ask for help from God. Get the other things out that were causing you to fall and start putting the right things in that will get you towards your destination.
So good. You know, as you would think of that John 10:10 passage that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I come that you have life and life abundantly. And then remember, too, there's no condemnation. So we can, in Christ Jesus, we can get back up again.
That's right.
And don't you love that God calls us up? The enemy knocks us down. He
that's
seduces
right.
us, then accuses us. But God calls us up, so we get to begin again.
Yeah,
I think that's such good news.
And if you want to know which voice is the enemy and which voice is God, the enemy's voice says, you're so bad, stay down.
That's right.
And God's voice says, you slipped up. Get back up.
That's so good. Yeah, you'll never hear idiot from God.
No.
So if you hear that voice in your head, 877-933-2484. I think we have four copies of Rob's book left. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie at faithradionet.com. We're going to talk to Chris from White Bear Lake. Chris, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I was just got diagnosed with Asperger's, and I pretty much think I had from birth. Along with major depression that I was diagnosed with like 20 years ago. I'm saying, what do you really have advice for were things that you really can't control? I mean, I've had my medication for not that long, and I've had the electroshock therapy, the spiritual deliverance, and the diet, and nutrients and all that kind of thing, and it still just seems to be the same level. I'm just wondering if it can't be a thorn like Paul had or something. You know?
Thank you, Chris. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, that's a great question, Chris, because here's what I found out. I worked out like crazy, lost the weight, lowered my body fat, but my cholesterol, I couldn't change. I couldn't get it down. I did all the right things, and so I needed a statin to take me down in the cholesterol, and I got it down to 180. And I realized in that moment, it's kind of revelation, there are things that I can change, and then there's things I can't change. And in his situation, he's saying he has some medication and whatever. I wouldn't have any condemnation in that if that's going to help regulate and get him to be able to move forward in life. For me, it's bringing my cholesterol down with that. And then it's knowing which is which, because when I talked to the doctor said to me, why do you want to work so hard? Everybody just takes a pill. You know, so you work real hard and then you supplement with whatever you can't get through that work and whatever God's going to give you. But I think there's that moment where you have to realize what can you change and what can't you change. And then you move forward with what you can change.
And I think that is the point, that when you make those little choices to for the change that you can, that does result in forward movement. I mean, I remember when I had Lyme disease as a young mom, I was so brutally sick, hooked up to this IV, which was hooked up to my broken mini blinds. And I literally showered once a week because that's all I had the strength for. And later on, years later, the doctor said, of the 10 of my worst, sickest patients, you were at the top, you and one other gal. And he said, but you are the only two that are up and moving and living a functional life. And the only thing I can attribute it to is movement. Because when I was hooked up to the IV, I couldn't exercise. I was a person who worked out all right. the time. But I could roll my wrists. I could straighten my legs. I thought, if I stop moving, I won't be able to move anymore. So my range of motion is my exercise. That's my high ground.
That's
something I can do. And I just felt like God was just giving me breadcrumbs out of that wilderness saying, here's the next thing. And it seems so inconsequential to compare to a 75-minute cardio workout. But I couldn't look at that. And that was my breadcrumb out of the wilderness. And so I think that the change pieces you're talking about all net in forward movement somehow, some way. But we've got to be okay with those little steps, don't we?
Right. And I think anything forward is forward.
Amen.
So
good point.
A little step forward is still forward. Don't discount it and move things forward. That's what I would say.
Boy. Well, we're talking to Rob Ketterling today. He's got a brand new book out, Change Before You Have to, Discover a New Life of Abundance, Passion, and Satisfaction. I see Ruth from Waterloo. We're going to get you in just a moment. We'll take your questions, your comments, your calls, 877-933-2484. If we run out of books, we've got lots of other kinds of books from our Faith Radio shelf. But if you want one of Rob's, you want to get on the line right away, 877-933-2484. In a moment, we're going to talk with Rob about indicators in our life that maybe we do need to make a change. How do you identify if something's controlling you versus you being in control of it? That's what we'll talk about. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, Susie at faithradionet.com. More with Rob Ketterling in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having a powerful discussion with author, Pastor Rob Ketterling, talking about his brand new book, Change Before You Have to. I love that title. Discover a new life of abundance, passion, and satisfaction. This is all about don't wait till you hit the wall. Don't wait till a tragedy strikes your life. Ask God, search me and know my heart. Point out anything in my life that offends you and lead me in the everlasting way. You know, just making some choices to change now so that you can last long and finish strong. Okay, I think Ruth has been waiting the longest from Waterloo. We'll take her. Ruth, welcome, and thank you so much for your patience.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just want to say I think I love this guy, too. I think it's high time we talked about this. I think it's one of the acceptable things not to talk about in the church. I've never heard it talked about, and I lived it. I went to live with an aunt. Discovering I had health issues, and I went to live with an aunt versus my home, which was totally different, not thinking and regarding about our body and what we put in it. And I went to live with an aunt, and everything was regarded as important, what you put in your body. And I am 56 years old, trying to go to school, a widow on my own, and I could not do all the things that I do. And I feel like sometimes I have more energy than young people, and I could not do what I do without the help of God and without learning about this. It's past.
So good, Ruth.
And I want to be like Anna and serving the Lord until my last breath. And the only way you can do that is to obey God's word. And he says to be conscious about what you put in your body.
Mm. So good, Ruth. Thank you so much. You're getting a copy. You want to say anything to Ruth?
Yeah. I'd want to say that I felt like I got younger when I lost the weight. I felt like I actually was in better shape than I was when I actually lived those years. So I told Becca jokingly, I said, I am going back 8 years in my life and I'm going to relive those 8 years. She goes, you can't do that. I said, well, I'm 8 years younger than my age is because I feel that much better. And she goes, well, you can't do that. I said, well, you could join me. And she goes, I don't want to. I said, well, now I'm married to an older woman because I went back and I'm 8 years younger. But Ruth made a great point there about taking care of what comes into us and having that super abundance. Yeah. And I think that's the key, having it in every area of your life. You weren't meant to just barely get by. We were meant to keep changing and in whatever area it is, to be more like Christ, to be more like what the Word of God says, so that we have that super abundance, not only for us, but for other people too.
So good. And we've got tons of calls coming in, but after we take a couple, I want to go back to the issue of friends, because the fact that Ruth's aunt impacted her so much, and you have a whole chapter on that, who we walk with. And so you either have people that are challenging you up,
correct,
or they're pulling you down. And so that's an important topic as well. Joanne is calling from Hudson, and she's got a question. Joanne, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's your question for Rob today?
I have a question of if you have low self-esteem and you think you're going along fine and all of a sudden then it hits and then you're eating everything in the house and then you feel even less good about yourself, is there some way that you can think of that would stop that so that you could get going in the right direction, I guess?
Thanks, Joanne.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, for people that have low self-esteem, I'm always saying, read the Word of God and see what Scriptures talk about who you are in Christ. And I'm thinking, I read those. I say to myself that, you know, I wake up every day and think, I can't believe God loves me. Mm-hmm. How privileged is that today that I get to wake up knowing the God of this universe loves me and cares for me and wants to be involved in my life and wants me to serve him? And I just start getting pumped up about that and getting excited. Mm-hmm. So that's part one. But if you're still battling and struggling, I think whatever you start feeding in your mind is what wins. You know, the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I'm thinking, I want to meditate on the Scriptures. I want to speak about the Word of God. I want to focus on what's life-giving, what's positive, what's pure, lovely, mm-hmm. true. And I'm going to keep feeding that in. And then if I fall and I'm eating all this, well, then I want to figure out what can I change to get around other people that will help me. And you brought it up with friends. And I think when you're alone, you isolate, mm-hmm. and you're easier to be beat up on by yourself.
That's so good. And I love that you brought up the love of God, because that is really the first thing to go, our understanding and remembrance of who we are. It seems to be the catalyst of every other sin. We forget whose we are and who we are.
It's true.
And we default to these cracked cisterns, so to speak. 877-933-2484. We've got Molly calling from Cedar Falls. Molly, welcome, and thanks for your patience.
Hi, no problem. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about spreading myself too thin, feeling like I'm doing so much good in so many different areas, and then all of a sudden I find that the person I'm neglecting is myself. Mm. And then I find that, you know, the changes that need to be made are in me, but then I feel like if I stop and work on me, then I'm being selfish and I'm not allowing all those other good things to be done around me.
So I'm going to hand you over to Rob, but I can't help myself. When you fly and they tell you, in the event of emergency, put on your own mask before you assist your children. For me, I have lived by that there are certain things that nourish my soul and my spirit, and my physical exercise is so key to my personal health that I just know that I can actually help more people when I tend to some of these basic disciplines of my life. But how about you, Rob?
We use the exact same analogy. I say that all the time. In the event, put your mask on first. And do that. And even at the church, many times I'll say the reason we're doing this before we do this is because if we take care of this first piece, we can get to 2, 3, and 4. Mm, if we go to number 3 right away, that's the only one we can focus on.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's wrong to sharpen the saw, if you will, and work on yourself and then have the time for the other things. It sounds like Molly needs to learn to say no to some things that are good, because good will always crowd into the list. And if I could say this as a pastor, I always think it's crazy when people say, I'm saying no to certain things, so I'm going to say no to the church, mm-hmm. no to serving, no to helping people, and yes to my bowling league, my free time, my hobby, and my whatever. And mm-hmm. you're like, wow, why don't you say yes to some of the things of God as well? Mm-hmm. And figure, God doesn't lose every decision, does he?
Right.
So
good point.
It's figuring out where are the things that you can say yes and no to, taking the time for yourself. And it's not a selfish thing. You're saying, I want to be the best me I can be for everybody else.
Yeah, it's stewardship, actually.
It is.
Isn't that so good? All right, we've got Linda calling from Pipestone. She's also been waiting so patiently. Linda, welcome. Thanks for calling today.
Well, thank you so much. I love your program here today. I think it's very helpful. Mm. But my question is, as you get older, it gets harder. And no matter what you try to do, it doesn't seem to work, or at least you don't get the results you were hoping. So what can you do? It's like when you're stuck. You try different things and it doesn't work. And what do you do to get your body to respond to the changes?
It's a good question. One of the things I learned in working out was that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, your body adjusts. It's brilliant.
It
adjusts to it.
It's a machine.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and the things that worked were changing it up. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people live what I call a wash, rinse, repeat lifestyle. They do the same thing day after day, wash, rinse, repeat. And they want different results, but they keep doing the same thing. And so I think you change it up. You say, can I serve a different area? Somebody might think, well, I don't want to serve in the kids area. That would drive me crazy. Well, maybe you need to go in there and serve for a year and have something just shake you up and get you to think differently.
It's kind of like in the fitness world, muscle confusion. You kind of jar your system a little bit. And just I'll tell you just a couple of things real quick on a fitness level. If you add a pound of muscle to your frame, you'll burn 13 more pounds of fat a year. So more protein, a little more strength work, that just on a side note might make a big difference. But thank you, Linda. I want to make sure we get one more call because we've got all kinds of questions here for Rob today. Terry has been waiting on hold for quite a while from Hopkins. Terry, thanks for your patience and welcome.
Hi, Susie. Hey. I really enjoy your program.
So glad. What's your question for Rob today?
My question was, does your book deal with stress? My wife and I are always under a lot of stress at home and at work, and I know exercise is good for that. Do you have any other ideas or ways to de-stress?
Well, I think that stress is brought on because we're not having the margin in our life that we need. And, for instance, when I talk to people that are stressed, it's usually one thing feeds the next thing feeds the next thing. They're not in good shape. And please don't hear that it's only get in shape, this message.
Right.
You might be in great shape, but you're stressed out because you have no budget. Mm-hmm. But usually it's not in shape and not in budget, not communicating, marriage is not doing well, you're not energetic and positive and excited at work, which means you have stress at work, which means you come home, take it out on your kids, and you see how it all feeds. And so my thing would be to trace it back to what's the first thing you need to fix. What's the one thing that you're hearing right now? This is out of order and needs to be fixed the most so it can spill over into the other areas. And like you said earlier, moving forward and then moving forward one step at a time. So to me, that would be it. Stress usually comes from those areas where we don't have the margin and all of a sudden one thing leads to the next. As far as helping for stress in the book, I mean, I think the main thing, it isn't a diet book. It doesn't give you the exact, here's how to attack this addiction. It's more, here's the mindset to be in. Here's the victory you can live in. Here's some keys that you can understand towards it, and it fits in every area. And so
I was
going to
say, I think it helps take inventory of your life.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you made the point that it's not just fitness. That just happens to be
it was my
issue. Your area.
And
that, yeah.
Right.
And so, but that's really good. In fact, Frank, he calls often. He's a wonderful friend of the program, and he made a really good point about that we tend to be lackadaisical. We embrace complacency. He says, we know we're headed to heaven, so we coast and have no conviction to change. And to me, that is a form of cheap grace. And it is a wrong stewardship because I think of your wife, Becca. Let's say you didn't steward this health thing.
Right.
And, you know, I know as a wife, my husband's a cancer survivor, how unsettling it is to me if I see him not making choices to care for his health. I mean, ultimately, it's his thing, but it does bear, some burden on my heart, too. And so this matters. This message matters is what I'm trying to say. So address the issue of people who maybe embrace complacency and just say, we're all going to heaven anyway.
Well, I think complacency is actually really selfish.
I do, too.
Because you are not on this earth just to coast through or just about your happiness. You're here to glorify your Heavenly Father. And He's saying that He wants you to reach people, that He wants you to fulfill your purpose, to get to know Him, to impact this world. You're on mission. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's not like it's done. That's enlistment day.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
good.
Now you move forward to do what you're supposed to do. And so if you're coasting, you're coasting on your calling. You're coasting on who you're supposed to be in Christ. And what kind of servant would you want? Would you want an employee that the day you hired them was the best day that they ever served? Or would you want, as they're growing as an employee, for the next day to be better than the last day?
That is good.
And be more skilled and produce more and bring more to the company. Why can't we have that mentality with Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Your best day was not the day that you enlisted. Your best day is the day that you got to do more for Christ and to do more for the kingdom and advance the cause. And you should die with a to-do list.
Oh, I love it. That is amazing. And that's so motivating. And don't you think sometimes in the church, we confuse passivity with humility? Humility to me is harness strength. That it's amazing strength. Passivity is, I'm going to put off the uncomfortable thing tomorrow so I can be comfortable today. It's almost like trading your birthright for a bowl of soup. Talk about that dynamic and what we miss out on when we embrace passivity instead of what you're talking about.
Well, you don't know what you're missing out on. That's part of it. Because unless you've lived at a higher level, you don't know what's there. And so you tend to surround yourself with people that think like you because you don't like being agitated. And so here's something that I did with my boys' basketball teams. We have two boys, Connor and Logan, just amazing young men of God. And I coached their basketball teams when they were younger. And when they were in like third grade, I would take them to play the fourth graders. And they'd get beat, but you know what they'd understand? They'd understand this game can be played at a higher level. And they
That's good.
See what I mean? Now, I didn't take them to people that were like seniors in high school because they'd get stomped and then they'd hate the game. Okay, so I took them one step above and let them see what it could be done at. Well, I think in our life, we need to say, who is further along in their marriage than me that I could learn from? Who is better in fitness that I could learn from? Who is better in their spiritual walk that I can grow from? And get around those people so that they spur us on to good works, like the Bible says, and they challenge us to do more. And we get a vision of what we could be at a higher level. And when I started hanging around with better leaders in ministry, all of a sudden my world got bigger. My faith got bigger. My prayers got bigger. Everything got bigger because my world got bigger being around other people, realizing, wait a minute, I was made for more than this.
And so you're saying an antidote to that passivity is to get a vision and be with people who have a bigger vision so you see what's possible.
Yes,
that's
without
excellent.
A doubt.
And one of your chapters is on friendships. So how do you assess the fruit of these friendships, and how do you make a change in the area of friendships?
It's very hard, but I do think that that's one thing that a lot of people say, well, I got my friends and I can't change. And let's use the area of morality because that's where friends can bring us down. Somebody will say, this is my best friend and I know we get into trouble, but they're my friend and so I'm with them and I'm not gonna lose my friendship. Well, that friend will bring you down. And I think there's those hard moments where you have to say goodbye to people if you're going to make the change. You're just going to have to say goodbye. And you might have to say, you've been bringing me down the wrong road. This is where I want to go. I want you to go with me. But if you can't go with me, this is where we're going our different ways. But I think you just look at when you're around the friend, do you feel closer to your goal or further away? And you can assess it. Are they pulling you down or are they lifting you up?
And really, how attractive would that be if in a loving way you said, this is where I'm going. I'd love for you to go with me. But I'm going, you know,
right.
I mean, really, what kind of person would go, no, I'm good.
You know, a lot of people do, though. A lot of people don't want to excel and go for excellence. A lot of people don't want to go the second mile. It's pretty lonely. But you have to overcome it. And there are people on the second mile and they'll join you. But it might be different than the people you did the first mile with.
Well, you know, traveling around is as a conference speaker, I meet so many women who have the lifeless look in their eyes. And when you probe a little deeper, they're living with a husband who's not changing before he has to. You know what I mean? He's married but not engaged. He's married to his job going, I'm doing this for us. And she's like, doesn't feel like us. I hear that story, and I'm sure, Becca, you do too. I know there's a woman listening today going, okay, I would give anything if my husband would respond the way Rob did. Other than pray, is there anything else that you could suggest to her?
Well, I think...
And prayer is big. Yeah,
prayer is big.
Yeah, yeah.
But Paul talks about being an example that your husband would be won over, and he's talking about a non-believing husband. So maybe your example in this situation, whatever that area is, they could be won over. It is hard because I've noticed that a guy that wants to change can usually bring his wife along, okay? But a woman that wants to change doesn't necessarily always bring the guy along. It's interesting because the guys will just, I'm not doing it. If you want to humor yourself and you go to it, go ahead, but I'm not doing it. So I think it's winning them over. I think it's trying to get them exposed to the good things in the area of, you know, even I'm just thinking of examples like food. It's like, well, taste this. See, I know it's healthy. Taste it. See if it tastes good. You know, and trying to expose them and give them the sample, if you will, of what they could have.
Right. Yeah, and you think about that as a wife. You know, you start to eat well. You start to exercise. You start to press in your devotion times and start to grow. I mean, that's a pretty shining example. It's like, I want you to go with me, as you're saying, even with these friends, but I'm gonna instill these disciplines because I want a good quality life.
Right.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, how do you... how do you assess in your life if there's things, you mentioned this in the book about when things, when you start to serve things versus they are serving you. I mean, like you talked about the food issue, but there are maybe other things too, where someone's listening today going, I don't really think, I think I'm still in control. You
right.
know, how can you assess if some changes need to be made?
Right. And I would use that word vulnerability, because if you're involved in something that's making you vulnerable, or what I would even call risky behavior, for instance, if you're overweight, you're vulnerable to a heart attack. If you're involved in internet addiction and you got a porn addiction, you say, well, it's not that bad. Yes, it is. You're involved in risky behavior. You can look at the level of it. Are you hiding it from your spouse? Are you hiding it from your boss? Are you hiding? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can look, you're involved in risky behavior. Another indicator is excuses. If you are a master of excuse, because, you know, I've heard people say that are overweight, that, well, there's more of me to love, you know. Or, you know,
I'm twice the man.
Yeah, you know, I'm just big boned, you know. Or, you know, so they'll say those things, and so they become the master of the excuse. Do you become the master of the excuse that it's not my fault, or it's not as bad as you think it is, or this is not a problem, I've got it under control, and you're always giving excuses? That's another indicator. Then the other thing I've noticed is there's always voices that are speaking to you. They just are. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I picked up a magazine that had an article about good health. Or I put on my shirt and realized, wow, I even look fat in this shirt. You know, there were times that I heard it, but I just ignored it.
Hmm.
And I think if you're realizing that you're under the control of something, you're hearing the voice, but you're just not responding to it. It's there, and you've got to learn, and I think this is a key, you have to amplify the whispers of God.
Hmm.
You have to amplify the
That's
whispers,
good.
Because he's whispering, but you've tuned him down. So if you're going to change, you're going to say, I'll amplify the whispers of God because I've heard it. There's something telling me to change this area. I need to turn that up. Hmm. I need to hear that stronger.
And God is so for us, and he wants the best. His will for us is our best case scenario. And that's the thing we have to keep remembering. So say a word about the faith element in this, because disciplines matter, our choices matter, but God is on our side too. So what happens when we, you know, employ choices in our life that are totally God-breathed, God-given? Talk about the God factor involved here.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one local paper said, local pastor writes a self-help book. And I said, it's not a self-help book. It's actually a God help book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a small part in this, but God has another part, a bigger part, and you're going to work together in the change you want to see.
Mm.
And I think that's the big difference between self-help. It's not me just saying, I'm so good. It's me saying, I'm with God. He's so good. He wants me to do better. He's going to give me the strength to make the changes that I need.
Mm.
And so you draw on that strength from God. You ask for it in prayer. You ask for it in the promises of God. He will give you the strength to make the changes that you need to make, but he works with you, and he doesn't just do it for you. He doesn't just zap us. He works with us.
You know, I love the scripture that talks about we're meant to go from strength to strength, mm-hmm. glory to glory, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And that just reminds me that, and I say this all the time, that there's always a next place of promise for all of us. Nobody's arrived. And so, but I think in his mercy and grace, God just leads us to the next place, right?
That's right.
And so don't you feel like that for each one of us, that if we are humble enough to say, Lord, what's next, that he actually will tell us?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the key that I had talked about earlier, a responsive heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking, and will we listen and do what he says? And one of the keys in the book that I talked about was Josiah. He was the king in 2 Kings 22. And God says, you did the right thing because you humbled yourself, you acted immediately, and you had a responsive heart.
Wow,
when you
love
heard,
that.
Yeah, it's really one of the keys in the book that I discovered as I was reading the Word of God. Like, that just jumped off the page. Humble yourself, admit you need to change, do it now. Procrastination is your enemy. If you say, well, next month we'll do it, and we're perfect time right now, it's the start of a new year, do it now. And then God says, because your heart was responsive, all the bad things are not going to come upon you. You're going to have peace. And so I think if we have a responsive heart, we say, God, speak to me and I'll do it. I'll listen. He's like, all right, now I'm working with you, because you have that responsive heart. You're listening to what I'm saying.
You know, life is rules. And you think about it, we maintain our freedom by obeying rules. So we have a freedom to get in our car, drive anywhere we want in this country. But if we abuse the rules and we go 80 in a 50 mile, we abuse the rules, we suddenly go from our wide open space to a tiny little cell, right?
That's true.
And if we abuse our freedom to eat, drink, or whatever, suddenly we lose our freedom because we become captive to the food or the drink or whatever. And so with just a little bit of time we have left, I want you to make the case for, because I love spiritual disciplines because I find such spacious freedom in them. And I feel like I can manage so much more when I mind these things in my life. But you always have the voice in the person going, sounds like legalism to me. And I just want you to make the distinction between legalism and wise discipline in your life.
Well, for me, this has been the difference between legalism and changing because I want to do it before. Legalism says God will love me more because I'm obeying this rule, and I will obey this rule to win his favor more.
And it makes me superior to you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
And to me, the grace way to change is to say, I love God so much, and I love what I'm here on this earth to do so much, and I love the people that God has put in my life so much that I'm changing. And I'm doing these things because I want to be a better follower of his. I want to be a better husband, a better wife, a better child. I'm doing this because I want to love them more, not show how good I am so they love me more.
Boy, that is fabulous. I'm so, so glad you made that distinction. And boy, the hour has just whipped by. Rob, I'd love to have you come back and talk more about this topic because I think we've just scratched the surface here. But as we wrap up, I'm thinking of that person. We have, believe it or not, about 65% male listenership to Live the Promise.
Sure.
So it's pretty amazing, more men than women. I'm thinking of the guy listening today going, okay, you're messing with me, but I know I got to look at some of this stuff. And he's a good man, but his maybe priorities are out of order. Would you pray for that guy, that he
would
just have
to.
A visitation from God and have a strong sense of the next steps he needs to take?
Absolutely. So, Lord, I just pray right now for whoever's listening to this broadcast. And I pray right now that they're going to hear this voice, that it's the voice of change coming from you. It's not just a guy on the radio, a pastor, but you're trying to break into them and say, it's time to change. And I pray that they'd have that responsive heart. Mm. We started out with that scripture, Lord, that you take a stony heart and you put in a soft, responsive heart. And it seems like over life, just our hearts get crusty again. They just get crusty because of the things of this world. And we start to tune out to the changes that we know that we need to make. But I pray that right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would touch those people and you would start to make their hearts soft again and responsive and pliable to the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in their life. They have the power and strength that you give them to make this change. And I pray they'd believe it. They believe the voice that says you've fallen, but you can get back up, rather than the voice that says you've fallen, stay down. Mm. And so I just pray for strength and just a belief that they can change because God is working in them to bring about that change. Blessings on those that are willing to do it, to take the first step. May they do it and fight through the obstacles to bring glory to your name and change before they have to. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Rob, thanks for your time today and for all you do for the kingdom. Appreciate you both so much.
Our privilege.
Yeah. Title of the book, again, is Change Before You Have To. Discover a new life of abundance, passion, and satisfaction. Very important message. Thanks so much for listening today. A reminder that you can listen to this full program on our website at myfaithradio.com. You can download it to your computer and even share it with your friends through Facebook, email, or Twitter. Well, tune in tomorrow. I'll be talking about the final section of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, and what it's like to take new land, take new territory, and getting to the high ground. Well, finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.